Amen. Why don't we pray for the word tonight? Heavenly Father, what an honor and a privilege it is to come to your house and to receive of your word. And tonight, Lord, we yearn for your voice. Tonight, God, we yearn that you would come and speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, that it would not just be another service, but that tonight, Lord, by your power and by your spirit, oh God, that you would truly change us and you just would truly come and speak to us. So we honor your word. We honor you tonight, and we ask all this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are continuing on tonight from several weeks ago with part two of Living Word. We serve the one true God who is living, who is all-powerful, and who has a plan for every one of our lives. Is he alive to you tonight? Is there a resurrection power of Jesus Christ living within you tonight? Do our lives reflect a deep level of faith and a trust that God is moving, that he is able to break through for us, that he has called us? You see, when we believe that our God is alive and that he is moving, it ought to stir a passion within us to draw near, to be so aware that we are nothing without him, that we can do nothing without the power of God in our lives. And because our God is living, we are told in Scripture that his word is living as well. John 6:63, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. God is passionate about his church being skilled in the word of God. In our Christian living, we know that there are battles that wage against our lives. There is the battle of our sinful human nature, and there is the battle of our spiritual enemy, Satan, that is working against us from being victorious and staying close to the presence of God. When we know the word, we will know how to resist the sin and temptation. When we know the word, we will know how to overcome the ungodly area so that we are not separated from the presence of God. If you have your Bibles tonight, you can open up to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Our main passage comes from here. Familiar verse, I'm sure, for all of us. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The King James Version in this verse, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful." The word quick is interpreted to mean alive, breathing, having vital power in itself, and exerting the same power upon the soul. It is fresh, strong, efficient. This is what the promise of the word of God is for our lives. It is quick, it is powerful. It is efficient to perform what God desires for it to perform in our lives. And the question we asked last time was, what aspects of the word do we need to pull into our lives? Do we need to invoke on a daily basis in order for it to be living and active and powerful over us? What areas do we need to invoke in order that the word of God would cut away the flesh, that it would defeat the enemy in our lives, that it would advance the spiritual purposes of God within and through us? Just to recap really quickly, number one was the living word is faithful and true. Every word of God is faithful, and it is the one truth that stands up against every other misconception of truth that is being taught in our world today. Can you say amen? Number two was, the living word requires us to be hearers and doers. And number three was, the living word flows as cleansing waters to sanctify us. Well, as we continue on tonight, just 3 points really quickly. Number four is, the living word is our supernatural food. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you." How many have ever been humbled and tested by the Lord? to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. These verses compare the natural food to the supernatural food. What is the importance of our natural food to us physically? For our bodies, we know that it is the building blocks. For the young, it helps them to develop and to grow. When we are wounded, food can help the healing process. It can replenish the areas that are worn out. It gives us strength and energy to perform our tasks. For our minds, food is as the oil in a lamp. It is fuel for our learning, for our decision-making, for our bodies to function properly. The quality of our food affects the quality of our growth, affects the quality of our healing and our mental sharpness. Isn't that true? This principle in the natural is the same principle in the spiritual. In these verses in Deuteronomy, they admonish us that God's food, his word, it has supernatural powers upon our life. It can perform things within our spirits and within our life that natural food does not have the power to. Psalm 37, verse 3 tells us to trust in the Lord and to feed on his faithfulness. The faithfulness of God can be seen in our lives, I'm sure. But even more than that, the faithfulness of God can be seen all throughout his word, and we are admonished to feed on his faithfulness, to feed on his word. The world will offer its own kind of food to try and fill the searching, the yearning that is within every single person to be loved and to know their place in this world. The world will offer things that seem to satisfy the soul, but we will always come up empty. Our souls will still be hungry for more, because the hunger that is within us, it is a spiritual hunger. We were created in God's image to be completely satisfied, to be completely fulfilled in him alone. And these verses here, they warn us that man shall not live by natural bread alone, but that the only way that our souls will truly be satisfied is by living on the word of God, is by eating and feasting and being satisfied by the word of God. Have you ever experienced that dissatisfaction in your soul at times? That no matter what you do, who you talk to, where you go, where you find yourself, that no matter how many treasures you obtain for yourself, you amass in this life, that there still is a yearning, there still is a hunger inside of your soul for something more. You see, God draws by his Spirit each one of us to eat of his word, to take it in, to be fed by it, to be satisfied by it. Ezekiel 3, 1 to 3. Moreover, he said to me, "Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that scroll. He said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly. Fill your stomach with the scroll that I give you." And so I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. The prophet Ezekiel here is being taught how it is that he might obtain the mind and the divine will of God. He is being commanded to eat the scroll, which is the word of God. It says that he opened up his mouth, which shows us that he was willing. He was hungry to receive of what it was that God wanted to speak to him. It says, feed your belly. Fill your stomach. Take the meaning of it. Allow it to enter your heart. Allow it to enter your mind. Allow it to satisfy the spiritual hunger and take pleasure in it. It says he ate of it, and it was in his mouth as sweet honey. It was a pleasure to eat. He did not spit it out. He did not complain about the words that the Lord was speaking to him. He did not disregard them, but rather he enjoyed them, and he ate his fill of them with delight. It is as if the Lord is saying to us, prepare a place in your hearts, Prepare a place in your innermost being where my word would have a place, where my word would be able to dwell within you. Receive of it with delight. Further down in Ezekiel 3, verse 10, it says, "Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your hearts all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears." The only way that the word of the Lord can be received into our hearts, so that it has a home deep within us, so that it nourishes us, as if we empty our soul of any natural thing that does not line up with the word of God. Both of these things cannot reside in our souls. The word of God is only quick and powerful. It is only living and active. It is only our supernatural food when we set our souls apart for the godly things of the Lord, when we empty our hearts of disunity, when we empty our hearts of any jealousy, striving, comparison, any ungodly attitudes. Let our hearts be nourished and cleansed as we eat of the word of God. The prophet Jeremiah had a similar experience. In Jeremiah 15, 16, "Your words were found and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Is God's word the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts? Do our spirits jump for joy when we read the word of God, when we take in the blessings, when we receive of all of his promises and all that he wants to speak over and into our lives? When we celebrate the truths as we open our mouths and we receive the word that is quick to do its work, the word that is living and powerful to fulfill us." Paul exhorts Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 to meditate on, to give himself entirely to God's word. We perhaps have heard the definition and the meaning of the word meditate before. It means to think deeply upon the word, to attend to carefully, to practice, to be diligent in, to ruminate, to chew on, to eat. You see, to meditate on the word of God, it is not just a silent moment between us and the Lord. To meditate on the word of God, it requires action on our part, to set our mind carefully upon it, to allow all of the other thoughts that do not line up with the word of God to be cast out of our minds. To practice the word of God means to recite the word of God over and over and over, until it is memorized, until it is implanted so deeply within us that we walk out the word of God with all diligence. Joshua 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Meditating upon the word in this manner, it brings the nourishment that the word was meant for as we eat it and as we practice speaking it over and over. John 6, 27, it says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you." Church, we must labor for this kind of food. We must work and toil. We must spend the quality time in our days reading the word of God, taking it in with delight, applying our hearts and our minds to understanding, practicing the word of God, being diligent in it. Let this be the desire of our souls. Let this be the desire. Have we tasted that the Lord is faithful, that he is gracious to nourish and feed our souls with his word? Number 5. The living word is our lamp of wisdom. Psalm 119, verses 104 to 105. "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word is described as being a lamp. It is described as being the greatest wisdom that we could ever hope to find if we search after it. One of the greatest aspects of God's word becoming quick and powerful, of his word becoming effective, living and active over our lives, is when we apply its wisdom, when we allow it to be a lamp, when we allow his word to be a light that directs our path, that guides every step, that guides our character, every word that comes out of our mouths, the actions that we take. It will be efficient, it will be effective over our lives when we allow his word to be a lamp, when we allow it to be wisdom. This word wisdom comes from the Greek word Sophia, and I know I have shared this a few times before, but there is such a full, beautiful, deep meaning of this word wisdom that we need to apply its fullness to our lives. It is translated to mean the knowledge and practice of the requisites for godly and upright living, skill in the management of our daily living, devout and proper instruction in our interactions with those who are not disciples of Christ, skill and discretion in imparting Christian truth. You see, God desires for us to go to the Word for every situation, for every area of our lives, for every question, every decision that we have to make, every heartache, every trial, every celebration, that we would go to the Word, that we would seek the wisdom of God, that we would receive His plan, that we would receive God's thoughts in His ways, that the cry of our hearts truly would be to know the ways of the Lord, that our relationships, our families, our homes would be saturated with God's thoughts, not man's thoughts, with God's ways that are so much higher than ours. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2. It is entitled, The Value of Wisdom. Let's receive the impartation of the importance and the power of what this word wisdom means over our lives as we read it together, verses 1 to 12. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil. This word wisdom, when we apply it and seek it out, we will find the knowledge of God, it says. When knowledge is pleasant to our soul, God's wisdom will be as a shield of protection. He will guard our paths and preserve our way. Discretion will preserve us in the time of temptation. The understanding of God's ways will deliver us from the way of evil. How many want the quick, living word of God's wisdom to protect us, to guide us, to preserve us, to help us to have discretion, discernment, and to deliver us from evil? When we have questions, when we are making decisions, the first and the highest wisdom that we seek out should be the wisdom of God. How often are we tempted to go to our friends, to go to a family member first, to seek out the wisdom of man before we seek out the wisdom of the Word of God? Job chapter 12, verse 5, it says, a lamp is despised in the thought of one who is at ease. It is made ready, though, for those whose feet slip. We must have a deep understanding of how desperately we need God's wisdom. May we never get comfortable. May we never become at ease in our own wisdom, in our own thoughts, in our own plans. The danger in this is that God's wisdom becomes despised. There is no holy fear of his plan, of his living word. Number 6, the final thing tonight. The living word is our sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6, 10 to 13 and verse 17, a familiar verse to us. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 17, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, our Father has given us wisdom, and he has given us a sword tonight. And it is not a plastic sword that is ineffective. It is not a plastic sword that breaks easily against a hard surface. But it is a powerful sword that will kill and destroy every sinful and every ungodly tendency that seeks to attack our lives. We are promised that there is power in the sword of the Spirit, in the word of God. May we become familiar with our sword. Let it not sit on a shelf. Let it not be daunting to us because maybe we don't understand it. But let us pick it up and let us get into the word and receive the understanding of it. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The rest of this verse here in Hebrews chapter 4, it indicates that we see the power of the word of God at work in our lives when it reveals our sin. How many know it's a good thing for our sin to be revealed? I'm not talking crazy tonight. It's a good thing when our sin is revealed, church. God desires to clothe us with the full glory of his presence. God desires for us to ascend the mountain, to ascend the hill of the Lord. And when he reveals our sin and when we humble ourselves, it's an opportunity for him to cleanse us and to wash us and to anoint us with his beautiful presence, with his beautiful glory that is unlike any other. The word of God exposes any divisions within our hearts. It penetrates the soul. It breaks sinful habits. It tears down pride and releases humility. It discerns our intents. It guides our passions to be united with Christ. It is sharper than a double-edged sword. Have you ever thought about what the two edges of a sword might do? We could say that one side cuts away what doesn't belong. The other side is a defender against the enemy. We could say that one side is flesh and one side is spirit. It cuts the flesh and it empowers spiritual breakthrough. The word of God is living and active because it draws us close to our holy God. It purifies us and it empowers us. Only the word of God can discern the deepest parts of our hearts and our minds and show us how to truly change into the image of Christ. When you research this word sword in this verse, it is actually described as being the same size of a large knife or a dirk. It is a dagger of sorts. It is a small sword. It is a straight sword. It is not one of those long swords that perhaps we picture as we have seen the photos in many different areas. It is not a long sword that can be clumsy to wield against the enemy if we don't know how to use it properly. But the purpose of this small sword, of this dagger, it was originally used with the naval officers who were engaged in hand-to-hand combat. It was used as a thrusting dagger. It was used as a thrusting sword against their enemy as they were close to them. It was used to attack the enemy, to defend themselves against the enemy with quick thrusts. It was effective in their lives. And this is a powerful imagery for us here of the word of God being as our sword, being as a dagger. That if we can understand the scriptures, if we can memorize the verses, that when the sin wants to come against us, we can attack the sin quickly. We can thrust it quickly with the word of God. When the enemy comes against us with anxiety, with fear, with so many different things, we take the word of God and we thrust it, and we break the spiritual powers of darkness, and we break every emotion, every anxiety that seeks to rob us of the power and the presence of God in our lives. Wow, what power there is in our dagger, in the sword of the Lord, in the sword of the Spirit tonight for our lives. We are to sharpen this weapon. We are to know the word, understand, believe the word first and foremost, prophesy and speak the word as our dagger to thrust it quickly and powerfully. We are promised that this sword, that the scriptures, they are quick. They are effective to puncture the enemy and every ungodly deed that seeks to attack our flesh. As we yield to the word of God, as we wield the weapon of the word of God in full faith and power, the Holy Spirit breaks through for us. As we speak the verses, as we memorize those scriptures, and we begin to speak them over those areas that are attacking our lives, God says, I will come through for you. I will break through for you when you pick up the word of God, when you pick up your sword and you use it and you thrust it against the enemy, you thrust it against the ungodly areas that are seeking to tear down the unity in your family, that are seeking to tear down the church of God. He says, pick up the word, know the word, use it as a sword, use it as a weapon. And as we begin to pray and we begin to prophesy and we begin to thrust the word of God, God moves on our behalf. He breaks through for us according to his word in the name of Jesus. Listen, there is nothing more important in our lives than knowing the word of God. There is nothing more important than understanding the living, the active, the quick, the powerful, efficient, effectual word of God over our lives. Second Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. The weapons that we have been given, church, they are not the same weapons that the world has to defeat their enemies. But the weapons that we have been given, they have divine power to demolish every stronghold, every supernatural power of darkness over our lives. Let's have the worship team come. Jesus himself is a beautiful example for us. We know the story in Matthew chapter 4. When he was in a time of testing, and he was in a time of trial, and the enemy came against his life, what did Jesus use to defeat the enemy? He used the word of God. He used the sword of the Spirit. Three most powerful words we can use to obtain the victory and the breakthrough. It is written. It is written, I am no longer a slave to fear and sin. Can you say that tonight? It is written, I am no longer a slave to fear. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. It is written that God marches out on the battlefield with zeal to accomplish his purpose to defeat our enemies. It is written that when we begin to praise, when we begin to offer our high praises, that God sets ambushes against our enemies. This is what the word of God tells us. These are not my words. It is written that the peace of God will guard my heart. It will guard my mind in Christ Jesus. When the worry wants to overtake us, when the anxiety and the fear want to overtake us, it is written that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts. It will guard our minds in Christ Jesus. It is written that greater is he who is in me. Greater is the Spirit of God. Greater is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that is within me than he that is in the world. We must have fresh revelation on the power of this dagger, on the power of this sword. How many want the full power of God to be released against the spiritual powers of darkness that are working against your life? We all do. We would all say yes to that tonight. Let us be committed to memorizing the word of God. Let us be committed to get into the word of God. Let us be committed to this so that we can thrust this weapon, we can thrust this double-edged sword to overcome every area that seeks to rob us of our victory, to rob us of our joy, to rob us of our spiritual inheritance, of our eternal life, to rob us of a church that is free, that is living in the joy of the Lord. It is written that God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. I pray tonight that we can continually be changed into the image of Christ. Let us be changed by the powerful, living Word of God as we apply it to our lives. Leonard Ravenhill gives us a wonderful quote, and he says this: the question isn't, were you challenged? The question is, were you changed? You see, we can come to church every Monday, every Tuesday, every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening, week after week after week. We can sit under the preaching of the Word of God and we can be stirred. We can be challenged by the Word and we can even be convicted by the Holy Spirit. We can feel a deep, deep stirring by the Spirit of God. But how many of us remain in the place of stirring, remain in the place of, wow, that was challenging, yet we never move to the place of being changed? We still need to cry out for the Spirit of God to fall. We still need to yearn to be stirred. We still need to yearn to feel the presence of the Lord, that the God of glory would come in, that he would cover over us, that we would encounter his presence in a powerful way. Let us never stop yearning and crying out for that. But church, when he pours out his Spirit, when he stirs us with his heart, we must move beyond this encounter. We must move beyond this experience and make the choice and take the actions to be changed by what the Spirit of God is speaking to us through his Word. God's Word will only be living. It will only be quick and powerful when we activate it, when we yield to it, when our hearts change, when our character changes, when we yearn for the Lord to develop us into godly believers. If we truly want to see a mighty outpouring of his Spirit, a mighty revival of salvation sweep across our land, we must be changed by God's Word. Pray tonight that we would receive a deeper passion for his Word, a deeper delight, a joy in rejoicing within us over his Word. I pray that we would receive a deeper revelation and understanding of his Word, a deeper commitment to proclaim the truths of God, a deeper conviction to be changed into the image of Christ. God, we eagerly desire that we would be vessels who are empty of the world's ways, of the world's pleasures, who are worthy to carry your glory. Can you say amen? Let's stand together tonight. Smith Wigglesworth, a revivalist, said this: there are four principles we need to maintain. First, read the Word of God. Second, consume the Word of God until it consumes you. Third, believe the Word of God. And fourth, act on the Word. One of the greatest promises that God gives to us regarding his Word being quick and powerful for our lives is found in Isaiah 55, verses 9 to 11. Listen, you might be here tonight and you might have a really deep prayer request. The Lord might be stirring you. The Lord might be speaking to you tonight. Wherever you find yourself, whatever situation you find yourself in tonight, let a fresh spirit of faith rise up within you regarding his Word, regarding what God wants to do. And let's pull in these verses over our lives in Isaiah 55. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. This is the word of the Lord tonight over our lives, by his grace and his mercy. Oh God, we eagerly desire for your word to be accomplished in our lives. We yearn tonight, O God, as the prophet Jeremiah, that your word was as a fire in our bones. And I pray tonight, O God, that there would be a fresh impartation of your fire, O God, of a deeper passion for your word, of a deeper delight of your word, of greater understanding of your word, that, Lord, you would release a spiritual hunger tonight in the name of Jesus, that, God, we would pick up your word in new measures like we never have before, that, God, we would be found as the mighty army of God, that, Lord, you would strengthen your church, you would strengthen your children, O God, that, Lord, we would not fear, we would not hold back, but, God, we would pick up the sword, we would pick up the word of the Lord, and we would begin to pray. We would begin to speak and to prophesy, and we would declare that, God, your word that goes forth, it will accomplish the desire for which you have sent it in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would raise us up as mighty warriors, that, God, we would eat of your word, that we would memorize your word, that, God, there would be no greater delight, no greater joy in our lives, that every young child here tonight, God, every teenager here tonight, every mom and dad tonight, that there would be no greater desire than your word, oh God. Oh, we yearn and we desire for your purposes. We desire tonight that you would do the work. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you tonight. We welcome you to come and speak. We welcome you tonight to come and stir, to come and change us, come and do what only you can do, Lord, not for our glory. God, this has nothing to do with us, but everything to do with your kingdom, everything to do with making your name great, with seeing you glorified and you lifted high, oh God. We yield our lives and our hearts to you tonight, Lord. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Church, let's worship the Lord. If you have any prayer requests, come. We'd love to pray with you, but let's worship and give honor and glory to the Lord tonight before we leave.